reflected on our time caroling, I realized something about myself. As I thought about that whole experience, I realized, you know what? I miss a lot. You know, even while I was walking from house to house, and this is just because of who I am or something, I found myself being so consumed about what song we were going to sing next or, you know, which house we were going to go to, that I sort of missed out on the joy of what was actually happening. And on top of that, if it weren't for my mother nudging me to look out, I would have, you know, I'd have missed out on one of the 12 full moons in the year. It was right there. I mean, it was illuminating the entire neighborhood. And the whole thing got me thinking, what else am I missing? I mean, I'm afraid it is far more than I'd like to admit. I'm afraid it's far more than we'd like to admit, which I believe is one of the main reasons why we are so in love with Buddy the Elf in the movie Elf, and why it's become one of the all-time favorite Christmas movies of our generation. Now, that movie was released in 2003. My wife and I were dating at the time and went and saw the movie. Yeah, that was exciting. And Elf would eventually become one of the highest grossing Christmas movies of all time, just behind Jim Carrey's version of The Grinch and, of course, Home Alone, which we talked about last week. And the number one reason for its success is behind that lovable character, Buddy the Elf. Played by Will Ferrell, Buddy's naive charm and his sense of wonder has left generations of children and adults wishing they could view Christmas the same way Buddy did. But, you know, I've learned that Buddy doesn't just entertain us. He challenges us. He reminds us of something we've lost, something that gets buried under the weight of stress, routines, and cynicism in adulthood. He challenges us with the things we often miss, especially at Christmas. Now, we're going to look at a passage in the scriptures that if you've been around the church, if you've heard the Christmas story, you've likely heard this before. It's in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to see a group of shepherds, like Buddy in some ways, find what was once lost on them as well. So if you haven't done so already, you can open up the Bible app and follow along with what I'm going to cover. I'm going to read a big section of the Christmas story, so you might want to follow along there. It'll be on the screens as well if you want. And we will be in Luke chapter 2 if you have your paper Bibles with you. Now, as we approach this passage, it's important to know what is happening in human history at this moment. The birth of Jesus is something that had been talked about and prophesied among the Jewish people for centuries. Dating all the way back to the prophet Isaiah, the birth of Jesus was on the radar of the Jewish people for generations. However, his actual coming didn't really grab the attention of people. In fact, it occurred in relative obscurity. It was on the outskirts of a small little town in Bethlehem. It was likely in a cave or a stable of some sorts. And most of society absolutely missed the coming of Jesus. That is, except for one group. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him by the sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Now, we know from history that shepherds were often considered some of the riffraff of society in the first century. They were typically uneducated. They were socially ostracized, and well, they stunk. They just stunk. And they rarely came within city limits, only to sell their flocks once or twice a year around some of the major festivals that occurred during the Jewish calendar. And most of their days were spent in the wilderness or pasture lands beyond the everyday lives of most of society. And also because of their close proximity to these animals, they were constantly in a state of uncleanliness, either because of the blood they might have interacted with, dead animals they might interact with, or excrement they might interact with. And that being said, shepherds were, by all accounts, constantly focused on one thing. Their lives revolved around the health and well-being of their flock. That's it. They lived and breathed their flock. They were the most important possession in their lives. And because of that, they were missing out on a lot. They weren't worshiping in the temple, most likely. They weren't spending much time with other people. They weren't eating dinner with their neighbors or being invited to parties or being invited over during some of the festivals during the year. But on this Christmas night, on the very first one, the shepherds wouldn't miss out. Instead, when the angel appears, Luke records that they were filled with terror. Now, I suppose that should be a natural reaction. If an angel appears to you, there is definitely going to be some semblance of fright. But it's not that they were scared. It's more that they had this wow factor of what was going on right before their eyes. Remember, most of their days are spent, you know, staring at sheep. And now there's this glorious angel standing before them. There's the wow factor, like they must be rubbing their eyes going, is this real what I'm seeing right now? And the angel's appearance wasn't even the most astonishing thing that would happen in that moment. What the angel told them was far more awe-inspiring. They were told that the Savior of the world, this Messiah that had been promised for centuries, that had been promised generation after generation, the one who'd been promised by Isaiah and Zechariah and Malachi, was now born in nearby Bethlehem. Now, I have to imagine it must be going through their minds, like, why is this angel telling us this information? And yet, they don't seem to hesitate whatsoever. The news causes them to wrangle up their sheep and head towards the town where they found exactly what the angel told them. This baby born in a manger. The Savior of the world, the Son of God, the Messiah, come to save them and every person who walked the earth. You can almost see their wonder of what is happening right before them grow as they stare into the eyes of an infant, the very first to see and worship God in the flesh. So wonder-filled were they that they couldn't, you know, contain their excitement. They had to tell someone. They ran through the streets of Bethlehem, which was probably a little abnormal. I'm guessing they have their sheep with them, right? Like, I mean, they wouldn't leave them behind. So there's just sheep and shepherds running through the streets of Bethlehem telling people, oh my gosh, you got to hear about what I have encountered and seen, which I have found is actually a common response by all of us when we see something wonderful, right? You've likely rushed someone nearby to come and see something uncommon. You're like, you got to see this. Get over here. Come here quick. Right? Whether it's a desert sunset or a meteor shower or a beautiful cactus rose or the view atop of one of our Arizona mountains. We want people, we're taking pictures. Like, you got to see this. We post it to Instagram. You should see what I saw. Look what I got to see that you didn't get to see. Right? Like, we want people to know the wonderful things we see. I mean, you're probably guilty of showing people your phone and the highlights of some recent vacation that you got to take, but they didn't, right? Or your baby walking for the first time. Like, we want people to know about these wonderful sights and experiences that we have in life. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us that the shepherds just take their sheep and they go running through the streets telling everybody about what they see, what they've heard. Because when something catches our sense of wonder, we can't help let others know about it. We've got to tell other people. But have we lost some of our wonder? Have we, like so many in the first century, been so busy with our daily tasks and busyness that we've missed much of the wonder of what God is doing and has done, especially at Christmas? Albert Einstein was quoted once saying these words. He said, there's two ways to live. You can live as if nothing is a miracle. You can live as if everything is a miracle. The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is a source of all true art and all science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand rapt in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. It's funny, even one of the greatest scientists of the 20th century understood that having a sense of wonder was essential to human life. And I'm wondering, no pun intended, if our sense of wonder has gone dry. Especially when it comes to the story of Christmas. You know, I drive around my neighborhood and man, they got every blow up figurine you could imagine. Some of which I'm like, what is that? Why is that out there right now? I don't understand what that has to do with anything. And we got the lights that we got. I mean, it is Christmas as we know it. But I wonder, have we truncated the story of Christmas to a Hobby Lobby nativity scene and some overtold stories that occurred 2,000 years ago? Has Christmas just simply become an over-commercialized reason to spend money we don't have on things we don't need for people we don't really even like that much? You laugh because it's true. Are we more infatuated with the trimmings of Christmas than the truth of Christmas? I mean, think about it. When was the last time you stopped to truly consider the wonder of God coming to earth in the form of a human baby? If that doesn't blow your socks off, I don't know what will. How often are you in absolute awe of the boundless love, forgiveness, and grace of God? Yeah, you know, I am afraid that we're missing it. We're just missing it. We have lost our sense of wonder, and we need it renewed. And here's why. I will tell you why. Because I believe, and the Bible seems to point out, that wonder ignites passion. If there was one thing about Buddy the Elf, it's that he was passionate about all things Christmas. I've never seen somebody so passionate about a Christmas tree like Buddy the Elf. He refused to let the thoughts and the looks of others get in the way of his desire to experience Christmas for all its worth. And it was his sense of wonder that fueled that passion that he had for it. Now, eventually, others, like his father, would be influenced so much by his wonder that they too would gain this new passion for Christmas. And I want to tell you, if your life feels passionless these days, it very well could be you have lost your sense of wonder. Your passion for life has waned because you've allowed something to get in the way of your sense of wonder. In fact, the thing that gets in the way of our sense of wonder the most, I believe, is our own cynicism. And it's interesting, you know, while wonder ignites passion, I believe that. And you can see that throughout the scripture. You can see that in the shepherds. I believe it's also true that cynicism ignites despair. And I love what Alice Walker, she's the author of The Color Purple, she says. She says, despair cannot share the same space as wonder. If we spend time in cynicism, telling ourselves and the rest of the world all the things that are wrong, denying all the beautiful things that exist in this world, it will lead us into one place, and that's despair. But if we allow our wonder to grow, our passion will grow with it. Our passion for this God who came to earth to be with us, to live among us, to die for us, to give us new life. The cure to despair, in many cases, the cure to our cynicism is wonder. To look upon things differently. And I just want to say that our wonder is a God-given gift to us. But in our modern 21st century Western culture, we have sort of decided we don't need to wonder about things anymore. We're really smart people. We figured it all out. And yet I look around and I'm like, we might be the most cynical and despaired people who've ever walked the face of this earth. The cure to that is a greater sense of wonder, to look upon things differently, to see the world in the way that the shepherds did that very first Christmas, to open our eyes and hearts to who God really is and what he really did on Christmas. And here's the million-dollar question for you this morning. What would it look like for you to rediscover wonder this Christmas? What if you allowed God to renew your sense of awe, not just in this season, but in who he is and what he's done for us through Jesus every day of your life? Now, some of you might be thinking to yourself, I'm too old for that. I just wonder, that's a young person's game. And I'm too old for that. I beg to differ. And here's why. I love what poet Elizabeth Browning says. She says, earth is crammed with heaven. And if that's true, then it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what life you've lived. There is an opportunity for us to renew our sense of wonder and passion. So I want to give us a few pieces of advice, if you will, a few ways that you, as you walk from this place, might be able to begin to renew the sense of wonder in your life. And let me just say, if you have walked in here and you're just feeling the weight of the world, and you are just feeling like, man, you cannot catch a break, that life is just not even, I don't even know if it's worth living anymore, I want you to know that God is meeting you right here, and he is stirring within you this new sense of, I want you to see the world differently. I don't want you to see it like a cynic. I want you to see it like the shepherds, with eyes open, with wonder at what I am doing, even in the midst of all of the trouble and despair and trials and tribulation. I want you to have a renewed sense of wonder. And so this morning, I want to give you just a few things you might lean into as you go into the next few days, especially as Christmas Day approaches, to renew your sense of wonder. The first thing is this: observe kids. Oh, man. Jesus was well aware that kids have much to teach us, especially us seasoned individuals. That's how I'll call us. That's what I'll call us, seasoned. Some of us have a little too much salt going on, just so you know. Here's the truth. We are really good at beating the wonder out of each other. But kids, man, they still got it. You know, I think that's one of the reasons Buddy is so, like, fascinating. He's like this grown man, but he sees the world like a child. And I'll be honest, when I watch it, I'm like, how do I get that? Because kids still have it. It's one of the reasons why Jesus, He has these interactions with kids in the Gospels, one of which comes in Matthew chapter 18. It says this, Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them, among his disciples, among his followers. And then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. That's an odd statement, isn't it? To say to a bunch of grown adults, unless you become like this child, what is he saying? He's like, unless you start to see the world and your creator like a child sees it, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. You'll never see it for what it's worth. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Open your eyes, Jesus is saying. Have a sense of wonder about what is going on. The Savior of the Lord, he's standing right here. You know, research has shown that by age 6, our sense of wonder begins to wane. And if you spend some time with young kids and just observe them and begin to see the world in the same manner as they see it, watch how that starts to change you. Watch how that starts to ignite a new sense of passion for what God is calling you to. The second thing you can do to renew a sense of wonder in your life is engage the arts. I mean, Albert Einstein even said it. That wonder and this sense of awe is what fuels the arts and the sciences, for that matter. Because God didn't just create, he actually gave us the ability to create as well. The arts have the ability to renew our wonder in ways nothing else can. Music, cinema, art, writing, dance, they have a way of capturing our sense of awe in a way nothing else can. I'm not even sure how I can explain it. You know, I was driving here this morning, and my phone connected to my car and all that business, and on came this, like, this jazz version of Sleigh Ride. Now, normally, I'd be like, woof, you know, Sleigh Ride, I've heard that a million times. But I was sort of caught up in the music. Like, whatever the guy playing or gal playing the piano was doing, I was like, what is happening? I kind of got lost in this moment. It's amazing how the arts and this human ability to create in our world can just stir this new passion. It can create this new perspective in us that we might not otherwise have. So maybe in the next couple of days or the next couple of weeks, you take some time to read a good book or to listen to a new band or to watch a great movie with the intent of simply seeing God's handiwork in all of it. Or maybe you need to create something. Maybe you need to dust off that guitar that's been just sitting in the corner for years. And I don't know, you gave it up because things got busy. And you just need to strum a few chords. Maybe you need to spend an afternoon tapping into the artistic side of who you are that you've shelved due to the demands of everyday life. Maybe you need to build something or draw something or write something. Engage with the arts. See how that ignites your wonder and your passion. And then last but not least, if we want our wonder to be renewed, I want you to go outside. Just go outside. You know, we're fortunate to live and one of the most unique and accessible areas in the world. And not only is our weather beautiful, especially this time of year, but the uniqueness of where we live shouldn't be lost on us. The Southwest has a beauty you cannot find anywhere else. And I think we take it for granted, don't we? We get in our car, we drive to Target, and we miss what's going on around us. So go outside. Look around. See your surroundings with a renewed sense of wonder. How do cactuses survive around here? I don't understand. That is a wonder that I'm going to need to have some clarification someday from God. I don't understand. I mean, it's well known around here that I don't like to hike, and I've told you that a million times. But, okay, thank you. I'm with you. But I know some of you do. So go. Go on a dang hike. Right? There's no better hiking in the world than in Arizona. And some of you have been talking about taking a hike for 6 months, and you've not done it. So go. Notice the heaven that is crammed into earth. right before our eyes. You know, I prefer going for a run or simply sitting in a quiet place, but whatever it is, there is an opportunity for us to not just enjoy God's creation, but to marvel at it. My hope for you this Christmas is that your passion for Jesus and the life he's called you to would be ignited. And I'm confident that it begins with this renewed sense of wonder of who he is, of what he has done, of the creation around us. In the same way the shepherds marveled at the sight of Jesus on Christmas Day, I want us to look upon him with the same sense of wonder. Wow. Wow. Somebody has defined wonder as how combined with wow. How did this happen? Wow, it actually did. The Son of the living God left heaven to come to earth and live among us, not so he could check in on things. He's not Santa Claus, checking to see if you're naughty or nice. That's not how this works. He did it so he could pave a way for humanity to be reunited with their Creator. That in our sin, in our brokenness, in our rebellion, he would come to earth for us. We didn't have to go to him. We still don't have to go to him. He is after us, pursuing us. And this news should strike awe and wonder in us. Into our broken and sinful world, the perfect, sinless Son of God came not as a man, not as a royal king, but as a baby, an infant, fully dependent on his mother and his father. And he did it to live the life that we could never live and die the death that we deserve so we might experience a new and eternal life forever. That's the story of Christmas. When you set up your nativity scene and you look at it, that's the story it's telling. And if that doesn't cause us to wonder at who God is, I'm not sure what will. The wonder of this news ought to ignite a passion in us like it did the shepherds, to worship him and to tell others about this incredible news. So may your wonder be renewed. Watch the kids around you. When the grandkids come over, just watch them. Like they'll pick up a box and they'll be entranced by it. It's magnificent. How do they do that? Right? You're going to give them a gift. They're going to take the toy and they're going to throw it to the side and they're going to play with the box for 6 months, you know? Listen to your favorite album, to your favorite music. Go on a walk around your neighborhood. Allow that wonder to fuel a passion inside you for the God who loves you and calls you to new life. The last thing that God needed and needs on this earth is a bunch of people who call him Lord but walk around cynical and just totally depressed. Instead, what the world needs is a group of people who decide this is the most wonderful news I've ever heard or seen, and it ignites a passion in me to live my life in the way that he's called me and to tell other people about it. And while you're at it, will you tell someone else about it this week? On Tuesday night, we're going to have Christmas Eve services here at 4 p.m. and 5:30. And we really want to fill this room twice that night. And I think, man, we are the shepherds of this story. That when we look upon the story of Christmas, it should cause us to walk through the streets of Phoenix telling people, you got to hear about this. You got to hear about this. So will you, with your sense of wonder and passion, will you bring someone with you? Who may not have ever heard this story before. Like Zach said, we're going to be handing out invites. Take some with you. Invite people. May we be the shepherds to stand in awe and wonder of who God is. And may it ignite a passion and an excitement in us that we might tell other people in this world. Let's pray. Lord, we need you to do a good work in us. I think we can all admit to one level or another that we've lost our sense of wonder. Life has a way of just sort of beating it out of us. We want answers to everything, and if we don't, we sort of write it off. But this story, God, I just pray that you would ignite a new passion in us for what you did at Christmas, and it would be caused by a sense of wonder at who you are, what you did. Lord, this week, that we would look into the eyes of a child and we would see what wonder once looked like, even for us, that we would engage with the music and the art that has been created in this world, that we would go outside and see the beauty of your creation, that the wonder of who you are and what you are doing would not be lost on us this week. Ignite a new passion in us for who Jesus is, for what he came to do. And Lord, we pray as Christmas approaches that we wouldn't get lost in all of the trimmings of Christmas, but we would get lost in the truth of it. And we thank you that Jesus would come for us, that he would leave his seat on heaven to come and to experience life as we know it, broken and battered, born as a baby, fully dependent on his mother and his father, that he would walk in the same ways in which we have walked, experience the same temptation, experience the same pain and struggle, that he would one day give his very life so that we would not be left behind, but instead would be reunited with you. May that capture our imaginations. May we just be in absolute wonder and awe of who you are. In your name we pray.